You're listening to Faith Conversations today. Our guest is Rachel Barak, who is the general manager of BibleGateway.com. And if you're not familiar with it, it's just a click away, BibleGateway.com. Hundreds of translations of scripture there, the major English versions. It's a very useful tool, but it's also a window into our relationship with scripture today. Rachel, you just mentioned something in passing, and that is comparing translations. That's a skill of Bible interpretation that a lot of people aren't familiar with, but every person has their own preferred Bible version. But you get something out of looking at a couple of other versions. Do you have any comment about that or how somebody could use Bible Gateway to do exactly that?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I'll use by way of example the idea that we do have a number of Bible translations on Bible Gateway, some that are considered word-for-word translations from the original languages, and others that are more what we call thought-for-thought translations or paraphrases. And I think that one great use for the parallel functionality is to look at those two types of translations in comparison to one another to get some additional insight into what the original language, what the word really was, but then also to compare that to contextually what the thought and the intent of the paragraph might be. And it's a very simple thing to do on the site. We're just getting ready to launch a new design, actually, and it's much easier on that new design within the passage page simply to click on the Add Parallel button, and you can select a different translation. And we've tried to make that a good bit easier in part to make sure that people are really using that to their advantage to enhance and deepen their study of the Word.
One of the questions that I've gotten frequently over the years, Rachel, is why are there so many different translations of the Bible? I mean, just the English language, if it's been done, why does it need to keep being redone over and over again? Do you have a response to that?
That's a great question. I think you're going to find a lot of different answers in the various communities around Bible translation and publishing. I believe that the Bible itself is certainly the inspired Word of God, but that even back in the day when it was being written down, the way that it was discussed or shared orally, it probably changed a good bit from one anecdote to the next. And I think that it's important even now that we have a number of different ways of relating to the text, relating to the words that God inspired to be written down. And I think it's important that we have a number of different resources on which to draw as we look for the right way to approach God and the right way to understand His character and to understand His influence on our lives. So I guess I don't know why we go through the process of translating it, certainly within the English language, for example, as often as we do, other than to say that I'm blessed by the fact that I can look at a number of different translations, and that by looking at all of them in comparison, I can gain a deeper and richer understanding of what was possibly intended in the original language, in God's original intention.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned intention there too, Rachel, because as I've talked with people on this question, they wonder, you know, has the meaning of God's word changed? And it hasn't, because when the Apostle Paul sat down to write a letter, he meant something concrete and specific, and we can discover that meaning over all these years. But what does change is the English language. Languages aren't set in stone, and people use words differently today than they did back in the 17th century when the King James Version was translated. Nothing wrong with somebody who prefers the King James Version, but frankly, they've gotten used to an English that is of a different era. And many people today, especially those that don't have a relationship with Scripture, need it in the English that they use every day. And there's so many. We're so blessed in the English-speaking world.
I think that's absolutely right and a great point. And additionally, I would say that while the meaning of Scripture hasn't changed, it is a living and breathing Word of God. And I'm not sure that I would trust any single translation ever to fully capture the living and breathing, the dynamic nature of the Word of God. And so I guess that's what I really appreciate about it as well. Not only does the language change, but my ability to comprehend some of the complexities and some of the richness in what God was saying changes with the different words I read.
I know, Rachel, out of interest in serving the users who can come to Bible Gateway at no charge to them, you and your staff have been working hard on a new user interface that is just about to open up. Tell us what is new about this brand new online face of Bible Gateway.
Well, it's been an exciting project to work on, and the new site is in beta right now. It will officially launch at the beginning of June, and it will look to those longtime visitors of the present Bible Gateway a lot like the former site. And that was really our goal, to improve sort of in an evolutionary way on something that's very familiar to many, many people. And so we worked hard to do no harm to the experience, just to clean it up and organize the design a little bit more intuitively. We did a lot of homework and studied very carefully the most frequent behaviors of our current visitors. What do people really like to do on Bible Gateway? And then we tried to make those things very simple and easy to find. And one of the examples we talked about before was the parallel views. And that is something that's even easier to do now on the new beta site, which will become the www.biblegateway.com here shortly. The parallel functionality is something we really cleaned up and made much easier to find. And that was really based on feedback from the users. We launched the beta site actually just a few days ago, and we immediately started getting feedback from our visitors, which we absolutely welcome. And within hours from launching it, we'd already begun implementing suggestions from some of those folks that had written in. We'll be continuing to refine that new design throughout the testing period and even after the formal launch in early June, and we're working really hard to just listen and hear what people are saying that they want to do and make sure that we can accommodate everything on the site that really makes sense.
Great. Rachel, what do you imagine might be the possibilities for Bible Gateway in the future?
I really hope that Bible Gateway is able to stay the same, at least missionally, forever and ever. I don't want to see it stray from being the free and open destination for reading scripture that it's always been. That said, there are a lot of things I think we can do to continue with the mission and to grow Bible Gateway beyond what it is right now. Certainly continuing to work on an integrated experience for mobile devices. We currently don't have an integrated experience that people can take away from their web browser and just utilize on the mobile device, on their iPhones and things like that. So we're going to focus on that. And we really want to provide a deeper, I'll call it personalization on the site for folks who want to use Bible Gateway to do deep and inductive Bible studies and store notes or Bible text annotations, things like that. Obviously, we're continuing to work on licensing agreements that will allow us to display more Bible translations. So I really see it continuing to grow in terms of the content itself and not just translations, although that's our most important objective, but also in the Bible study tools and helps, the devotionals and other resources, so that everyone who visits Bible Gateway really feels like they found something that's specifically and especially for them. We also have an interface for the site that's in Spanish, and we're working right now on developing the functionality to allow us to deploy out to a lot of other languages as well, so that in any language, certainly at least in which we have a Bible translation, we can also allow people to actually navigate the site in that language.
Rachel, for people who are interested, besides just going to BibleGateway.com and getting their hands on it and their eyes into Scripture, what are other ways people can track with the resources that you offer via social media and so on?
Sure. We have a blog on Bible Gateway, and we post periodic updates there about what's going on with the site. And there's also a good bit of biblical content there. I've got a great editorial team working on that. We also will be featuring on that blog some tutorials for the new features on the site and things like that. We also have a news and updates newsletter, so people can sign up via email if they want to hear about what we're up to. And then obviously we are on Twitter and Facebook as well. You can find all that information on the site as well, or Bible Gateway on Facebook and Twitter.
Well, listen, Rachel, thank you for what you do and the team that you work with. On the surface of things, you know, it looks simple, but there's so much behind it. And when a person stops and thinks about how many resources are there, how many languages, and how many people coming week after week. It's quite astonishing. Remember, everybody who's listening, it's Bible Gateway, and I think about Jesus himself talking about himself being the gate, the way in and the way out, the singular doorway to life. And so is the Word of God. So is the Scriptures to us, BibleGateway.com. Thank you, Rachel, for talking to us today.
Thank you, Mel. It's been an absolute honor and a privilege, and I just thank you for this time.
Great. And goodbye, everybody. Remember, anytime that you want, you can listen to past faith conversations by going to thebrooknetwork.org. Lots of interesting interviews with lots of interesting people. God bless, and have a great week.